I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey, Alistair.
Yes, Andy.
What's
Matthews.
Got you really excited about the upcoming show that we're doing at the Comedy Festival?
You mean the show Magma, the engineering presentation slash sketch show?
Magma! Exclamation mark. I convinced Alistair to let me put an exclamation mark at the end of the title.
Only on the poster. It's not the official title.
Only on the poster.
What we're here to tell you is that for listeners, there will be a 20% off deal.
Listeners of this podcast, by the way.
Yeah, but people who also just listen to each other.
Yeah, and hear somebody mentioning this special deal.
Yeah, what is it, Andy?
It's 20% off.
Yeah, what do they have to do?
They have to use the promo code TITT.
T-I-T-T-T.
Yes, to get 20% off. It's the TITT. It's the two in the think tank 20 team.
Team. That's you guys.
Yep.
Thank you so much for listening. And the Comedy Festival goes from the 26th of March 2019 to the 21st of April 2019.
And we are doing a show almost every single night of that festival. And we would love to see you there at the show. Magma! Exclamation mark.
Nay, must see you there.
Nay, must.
Andy is
nay,
in
must day.
Andy is in financial trouble. This 20% discount is killing him. And now on with the show.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. But for a bonus for listeners, we'll do 20% off. We'll only do four sketch ideas.
Four sketch ideas for people who listen.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall, host of the Two in the Think Tank podcast and Shusher Guided Meditations.
Oh, yeah. That's Al's new podcast. Can I still call it a new podcast?
You can. It's only about 3 weeks old or maybe four.
It's just a babe.
Maybe it's really
just a wee babe.
It's not like this podcast where we're quite quickly hurtling towards this 200th episode where we're going to have to come up with 200 ideas.
My God.
Maybe in September?
You realize how much we're going to age over the course of that body. It's going to be course of that podcast.
But it's like, our bodies that will age.
Well, I think that's what it is. I think our bodies, it'll be like people who do those ultra marathons and their bodies just start to shut down.
We're going to go into that as presidential candidate Barack Obama. And
yes.
We're going to come out of that Old Man Obama, like, you know, when he finished.
Old Man Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Down by the river, Old Man Obama.
Yeah, no, he's
sitting there whittling his stick.
The way that he aged.
Oh,
my God.
We're
going to do that over the 20 or 25 hours that it takes to do this.
That's what
episode.
Two terms will do to you.
Yeah.
But I've got to tell
podcast.
You, that Xi Jinping,
mm-hmm.
not a gray hair on his head.
Doesn't he have?
I don't know how he keeps it together. And he abolished 10-year terms.
You know, the thing is,
he's not going anywhere.
I know, but when you're as big as he is, you can afford to get somebody to dye your hair strand by strand.
Because, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, if you dye your whole hair black, very noticeable. People can just tell, right?
But if you just dye the gray hairs black?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People will go, oh, there's a few hairs that are extra wiry.
Or extra black in your hair. Nobody is ever sus of the extra black hairs.
Yeah, but because it'll contrast with some of the other hairs. It'll look like texture. It'll actually make you look like a cooler person.
Because
it'll be like looking at a beautiful tree in the autumn.
Maybe I'll get my hair dyed that ultra black color that they invented. It's just blacker than black. Vanta black?
Vanta black. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it just sucks in all light.
Appears
just like a void in space. That's what I want on my head.
And then people could shoot lasers at your head all day long and nothing would bounce off.
That's all I ask for.
I mean, a sniper wouldn't know where they're shooting.
That's right.
That's a really good idea. I mean, if you could grow hair all over your face like the Wolfman.
Assuming they'd made a vow to themselves to only ever shoot people in their hair,
yeah.
I'd be fine.
I mean, but if you dyed your beard like that and eyebrows, you know, they could only get you if they like shot right through your eyeball or something like that. I mean, if you were the Wolfman.
Yeah. If you had a Wolfman. That's why you brought up the Wolfman before.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I just say a word that I'm thinking about and in the hopes that later on I can use it.
Yeah. Or in the hopes that I'll be listening. And what a futile hope that is, Alistair.
I don't need to hope. Andy, do you think the idea of covering, this is for, you know, war-torn countries, where you start shaving in such a way so that you start getting the Wolfman thing. That's when, you know, so first of all, I mean, it's a multiple layer thing.
Oh, I'm already on board.
But what it involves at first is, you know, those hairs that are sort of at the top of where you shave? And you go, sometimes you're almost like, I can't shave that one because I feel like if I shave that one,
it's going to turn into a beard hair.
Well, there'll be another one up above that will now start to grow and become part of the line. And then the line will keep going up until you're up into your eyelids.
It's beard creep.
It's beard creep, exactly. But in this scenario, the government or this rebel group encourage everyone in their group to actively seek out beard creep.
Yep.
But also not only beard creep, but hairline creep and brow creep. And
I don't know if brow creep. I don't know if brow creep's a thing.
No, yeah. You know, it's like you can get like monobrow. If you started shaving that middle bit, getting real nice and thick.
Yeah. I already feel like mine is pretty thick. I think it's just a question of shade, like the color of that midsection. If that was darker in color at all, I would absolutely have a monobrow.
Well, I plucked it when I was in high school, and at some point, I just didn't have to anymore. Because I think
you plucked your monobrow.
Yeah, I was getting some serious kind of monobrow, even to the point where my dad was like, "You got to deal with that."
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think it's just not socially acceptable to have a monobrow.
Yeah, but normally you don't get pressure about that kind of stuff from your dad.
No, but he's protecting me, so that I didn't get pressure from other people. Oh, see, that's how you know your parents love you.
He was stepping between you and a bullet.
That's right.
And the bullet was the shame.
Yeah, well, that's right.
He was shooting you with a smaller bullet.
But that wouldn't...
A dad bullet.
Yeah, but that wouldn't have been necessary if I had had hair all over my butt. What he really did is remove the possibility of me being able to grow hair all over my face.
Yeah.
Dye it with Vanta Black and then not be able to be shot with a sniper's bullet.
Because you appear like a void in space.
Exactly. Or his scope will never be able to put the laser on me, and he won't look to see if the crosshair. I mean, he won't be able to see the crosshair because that'll just look black.
He'll be lost in the black.
That's right. He'll need a white crosshair, which I hope doesn't exist.
Look, Alistair, if you want to write this down as a sketch, I'm not going to stand in your way. I'm going to come between you and this being a sketch.
Wolfman Vanta Black technique.
Wolfman Vanta Black. I mean, if we were the kind of podcast that suggests band names to people's brothers, we would be in a hot mess right now.
Yeah. Wolfman Vanta Black anti-sniper technique.
I mean, if we were suggesting, you know, album names for the first album, say, of a brother's band, anti-sniper technique.
Yeah.
Far out. But... You know,
maybe that's for some other podcast.
Yeah.
You know, where their brothers have unnamed bands and the members aren't doing poorly financially. Well, that's not us.
I had something else I wanted to talk about.
Was it about having a single income household?
No. I think it was something about hair on your body. Growing. God, Alistair, I had the worst food poisoning yesterday. You know all about this already, I want to tell the listeners.
But the food poisoning I know the most about was the one from the day before.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, this was, I presume, the same food poisoning, but one that had just rolled into a second day, because for whatever reason, they weren't able to reach a conclusion.
Yeah. And it was because you actually ate quite was a sort of a spoilt carrot.
I like to think of myself as a vegan.
Yeah.
But on this occasion, I ate prawns.
But it was a vegan prawn.
Well, no.
But if was...
What I'd done is I'd had them crumb the prawn, so it was totally surrounded by crumbs, vegetable matter, so that I could have plausible deniability that I didn't know what was within the crumbs.
I heard that the prawn had been in a vegetable state before.
Vegetative
state. And so that makes it okay.
But can we do this? Can we open a restaurant that's called Vegan Deniability?
Mm.
Right? Where all our meat is hidden so well inside vegetables.
That's really good.
That you won't know.
It's actually, they use sort of techniques stolen from sort of Mexican cartels smuggling food, like smuggling drugs into America. And so it's only like sometimes 1 in 10 boxes will actually contain.
Indeed.
Well, 1 in 10 stems of broccoli will actually contain, you know, like an inner lining of pork.
But there's even a psychology element to, I think when they used to have firing squads, right? There would be 10 men on the firing squad, but they would give one man a blank so that you could convince yourself that you weren't responsible for the death.
That's nice.
And I think it's exactly the same.
That's a nice way to run a killing squad.
It's nice that they think about that kind of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of killing squads don't. They don't take the time.
It's like a lot of killing squads don't care about people's feelings.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to see a moral killing squad. Yeah. Okay. So you go to Vegan Deniability,
and
the
then,
restaurant.
You know, out of every 10 baked cauliflowers, 9 of them full of ham.
That's great.
The 10th one is all cauliflower.
I mean, you could especially do that with like a baked red cabbage, you know, because you could easily make, you could easily sort of, you know, shape leaves of ham.
Leaves of ham. Oh, just the phrase, leaves of ham.
Oh, it's like autumn in here. Leaves and leaves of ham. You know, that's a real, like...
The ham is turning brown and falling to the ground. That's never a good sign.
No. Well, you know...
All the ham is brown.
Ham is brown. But like, you know,
and the pork is gray,
which is actually its natural color.
No wonder you got
wasn't
food
that the thing with
poisoning.
Hot dogs? Hot dogs, where they're like,
oh, it's
the
everything. Is it hot dogs? Is it margarine?
Like, one of the reasons that hot dogs, I think maybe even bacon, cause cancer, is because they do use a chemical to make it look pink, because its natural color is putrid gray. Isn't putrid the best word, but also one that you don't normally want to associate with food?
Not normally,
but unless
in
you're
some circumstances
those two words would be perfect for that podcast that we're talking about that suggests band names to brothers.
Putrid gray. What a great podcast it sounds like.
Can we go anywhere else with Vegan Deniability? Because it feels like, I mean, you want to hide some meat in there. Great. But, I mean, also, why are people going there so to not know that they're eating meat?
I think that sums it up totally.
Because they want to eat meat.
Yeah.
That's why they're going there.
Yeah.
But they also don't want to know. So they I guess they can think, okay, so it's just so that you can satisfy your craving.
Ignorance is bris. No, bris is that. I was brisket.
Yeah,
and bris is cutting off the foreskin, right?
Sure. Yeah. Ignorance is bris.
Brisket. I mean, brisket.
They could eat the circumcised tips of animal's penises.
They sure could.
Mm. But is there any other animal that circumcises itself? I mean, it feels like there could be a rat out there somewhere that sort of bites the tip off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost certainly.
That would be great. I mean, there must be a book somewhere out there like, you know, Circumcision in Nature.
I hope so.
You know, because, I mean, it feels like that's a real coup for a biologist, you know? It's rare that you find a niche. You know, you find a good niche. You know, because like, I think there was that book that was like, you know, well, once somebody kind of started discovering that there was homosexuality in nature,
this guy's getting
a good book out of that,
talking
about a few examples. That this person, now there's a book here that just needs a discovery to back it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a discovery just waiting to be discovered.
Yeah, exactly. It's a book that just needs to not be fiction to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and I think you could actually pre-write the whole thing.
You know, it's not wrong. It's not false. It's just suffering from a bit of a reality deficit.
Exactly. You know? And I think you could actually write pretty much most of the book now
mm-hmm.
and just put sort of like a few empty spaces or some black lines or like a few question marks in a row
oh, yeah.
in the place of specifically what the creature is. But I think you could say this creature, walks past, these toads, these sort of like, you know, carnivorous toads. They always drag their sort of themselves over them, their schlong over it. And the toads that feed on the bacteria that is excreted always take a tiny bit of skin at the same time.
I got lost in this and I just started to listen to it like it was fact.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and then over time, by the time they're three, they actually have no foreskin left. Mm-hmm. And that also frees them of the toads.
Great.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's one, and then
but there are just some blank spaces where you leave like the date and the name of the person who discovered it.
Exactly. Right?
And then when that comes out in the media, you can fill that in and update your book.
Yeah.
But it's like it's a reality deficit. It's an existential. All it suffers. Yeah.
I mean, look, I think what you could definitely do, because sometimes a book takes time anyway. And
it's existentially impaired. The reality of this mm-hmm. is existentially impaired. That's all. But, you know, once reality catches up with whatever this is, we're there.
What I was going to say was that sometimes if you're just waiting for stories to actually happen, or if you're having to just look through endless biological papers and things like that, hoping that, you know, this actually is happening. That could take time. During that time, you could actually do about the 3-year degree it takes to become a biologist.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
In the meantime, you're going to be exposed to a lot of animals anyway. And you can basically go backwards and see, okay, how many animals do their schlongs just dangle on the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then how many of them walk through toad-infested areas? Things like that. And then you don't have to wait. You can go to those areas and you just need to see it once.
That's science.
That's, you know, it's the science of writing a book that's based at least a little bit of fact.
You're right. You want to know, here's some cold hard evidence for you. First in, best dressed. If you don't write the book down, someone else will write it. That's a fact, right?
Yeah.
You know, those advances, those big fat publishing advances for those science books.
Mm-hmm.
You know where the money's at, okay?
Science books.
Do you want that to go to you, or do you want that to go to John down there?
Yeah.
I hear he's already writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before he's even finished the thought.
I heard that he's writing something based off of things that have already been observed. So he's got some, you know, he's got an edge right now.
Yeah.
You got to start writing and you got to start observing. You don't have time. On the way to your observation, you got to write.
Yeah.
And while you're leaving on your way home, write.
Always be observing.
Always be writing.
Yeah.
Observing what you're writing.
This is a thing that I thought earlier in the podcast and I forgot to bring up. But when we were talking about Xi Jinping's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you might actually have some gray hairs. I'm not sure. But the point is that there's a great Roald Dahl short story. Pretty sure it's Roald Dahl.
Yeah, Roald.
Where he talks about being on a boat with a guy who every morning he would get up and he would see this bloke sprinkling like smelling salts or something on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is that guy doing?
Mm.
And doing this. And then like he eventually one day he opens his briefcase and he sees that he has 3 wigs in there of different lengths. Right, mm-hmm. And this guy is bald, but has been he sort of cycles through these wigs of different lengths to make it look like his hair is growing. And he sprinkles stuff on his shoulders because no one would ever suspect that somebody with dandruff is bald.
That's really good. Yeah.
I just love that so much. And I want, like, I feel like that is a principle that we could absolutely apply in other areas of life, right? Like, nobody is going to suspect this thing if you pretend to have some of the negative consequences that come with it.
Yeah.
Right? like, and this is the problem with, like, if when people wear a wig, they don't wear, like, John Travolta when he had his wig, because he definitely had a wig, right? Recently, he's just started shaving his head, and he looks so good.
Yeah. It's the best he's looked in years.
He's just got, like, grey, shaved head. I think he looks fantastic.
He started looking too much like a pharaoh or something like that. He was wearing, like, too much eye makeup, and his hair was jet black. It was not good.
He was really on that pharaoh trajectory. Yeah. You're like, oh, man.
No, this is not
good.
You're
going to get one of those long sort of blue penis beards. Yeah, you're done for, mate.
A couple of gold rings on there. shape it all square at the bottom.
But yeah, and that's because people who get a wig like that, they never get, like, grey hair.
Yeah.
Right? Or something. Just get it grey.
Get a grey wig.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with looking grey.
I'd love to look grey.
Worked for Gandalf. Nobody was ever like, oh, I hope Gandalf dyes his hair black or brown or something, or blonde. You think a blonde Gandalf, would that have worked for you?
Blonde Gandalf. Yeah. If he dyed his hair blonde. From grey to blonde.
Yeah. Like those golden locks. Because suddenly... Shows up
in book two and he's suddenly blonde and he doesn't mention it. Now all the hobbits are like...
Gandalf the Golden.
No, I want you to call me Gandalf the Golden. Well, I've always had hair like this.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, I just fought another eagle. That was it. Mm. I went up again. Why would you think that white was the final state?
That is true.
Maybe we
just haven't got old enough. It's like elderly teeth.
I think it was Pokemon. It was red, blue. I think that maybe they had green. Then they did gold and silver.
Mm.
He had gray. He had white. He could have gone silver.
Here's a thing for magma. Show Magma.
Yeah.
I reckon we can get elderly teeth into that show.
We tried to get in the last show.
I know, we tried to get in the last show, but that's because that wasn't a show about speculative engineering.
Yeah.
Remember, engineering's all about noticing patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's
and you,
true.
You notice third your set patterns, of teeth. Third set of teeth. It's going to be one big single tooth that goes all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
You just got to wait around for it long enough. That's a pattern.
It's because people haven't lived beyond really 120. And that's when it really kicks in.
I reckon.
But is it one, because you know how, like, we're already born with all our teeth. And so when you see the inside
head.
Of a baby's skull.
I had no idea this was the fact until recently. Mm. Like 2 weeks ago, somebody posted a photograph of a baby's skull on the internet, because that's just what you can see now, the baby's skull.
Yeah.
And they got all their teeth. All the teeth are in there. It's like double-decker.
Mm-hmm.
All the big adult teeth are just there crammed behind the baby teeth. It looks fucked.
I mean, maybe that's...
I wouldn't have thought that seeing a baby's skull could be disturbing in any way, and yet...
Yeah. Well, I guess... And what's crazy is that their big heads, we find that cute, but we didn't know that most of that bigness was...
It's full of teeth.
That's just teeth. That's teeth width. It's mostly teeth space expanse.
I love you trying to find the right word for this. Teeth bigness.
Yeah,
it's just teeth big.
It's teeth thick.
Teeth size.
Mm.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
It's teeth swell. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Mostly teeth.
I gotta love that teeth swell. Teeth weight.
Yeah, teeth weight. but that would mean that in the skull it might have to be...
You know when boxers have to weigh in? They're always trying to, like, shave their hair off and stuff and sweat it out. Do they ever pull out teeth? Yeah, you know, they pull out a bit of that teeth weight.
Mm.
I don't think that having teeth would be an advantage in boxing, right? You just got something to lose.
Yeah, but why? But then wouldn't you? What are you playing for? You know? What are you boxing for? Because, I mean, you're only boxing until you're, like, 35 or something like that. And then you got another 70 years of... chewing. Well, not if you're a boxer. You've got another 35 years, 20, 15 years of, you know, just eating soup.
You get some fake teeth, don't you? You get some fake teeth and use the Roald Dahl principle. You get some real terrible ones, snaggle tooth sort of thing. Yeah. You know,
and then
just
think,
a couple
oh,
of rotten ones and stuff.
Oh, they go, that's clearly his own teeth, because why would they be so bad?
Yeah, I mean, we saw him on all those boxing matches televised where he didn't have any teeth at all, but... I assume these just came through. Oh, you'd probably still wear a teeth guard.
you know, but the, all the stuff that, that was in your head as a baby that made the teeth.
The stuff that was in your head as a baby that made the teeth.
So your body.
Yes.
Okay, think about your body.
I'm with you.
Okay. Now, there's a part of your body that was active when you were a baby that made all your teeth.
No, but they were all, they grew in there. Like when I was in the womb, you mean?
Yeah. Whenever whenever the teeth were formed inside your head, something in your body.
I believe teeth are formed at conception.
Yeah, right. Okay. whatever the thing is that made them, that they, you know, it was active at that point, right?
Teeth stem cells or whatever.
But they go
it is.
Dormant after that.
Yes.
They go
the body
dormant.
Just forgets.
Well, it doesn't forget. It lays in wait.
It forgets.
It doesn't forget. This is the exact opposite of the point. Is that all you got to do is reactivate it. We just got to find what's the thing that
remind
turns that
it.
On. Yeah. No, not remind it. It doesn't forget. It lays dormant. It's like a bear in hibernation. So we just got to find how to activate that. And then it can start forming new layers of teeth. Yeah. Right, I mean it's something that we could probably find in sharks that you know is the constant active gene thing.
Do you think you could get some kind of a spray or some kind of a paste then that you just smear on, right?
Mm.
And it reminds your body to grow teeth. It's like teeth seeds, right?
Maybe
some
yeah.
sort of stem cell thing that comes in a gel and you squeeze it around there and that your gum, right?
Mm.
And like you know like planting carrots or whatever grows teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, the risk would be that you'd close your mouth and you'd get some of it on your tongue or something, and then you'd grow teeth on your tongue.
Oh well,
and you'd be like, "Oh no!" You try to wipe it off your tongue, and then you grow teeth on your hand.
I mean, that's the craziness. There is that you're thinking that those things, whatever made the teeth, they're everywhere on the body.
Well, I'm suggesting that the gel that we're squirting on
turns into the teeth.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about using the body's
ability. I know.
I'm
talking about, I guess, a funnier idea.
Well, I don't know if that is funnier.
No, you don't think that a gel that makes you grow teeth anywhere on your body is funny?
Well, I wasn't picturing the person who's trying to grow teeth as not having any teeth. I think that they're growing teeth and then they can push out the ones you currently have, get some fresh ones in there.
Oh, that is pretty good.
Yeah?
Ch-chunk. They go down. Do they make this noise? They go sh-chunk. And then you spit out all the... spitting out all those
Well, you
used
could,
teeth.
Yeah. I mean, I picture them coming out slowly and you could start collecting them and you could just get into the business of like human ivory.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're following this, right?
Man ivory. The greatest ivory of all.
Yeah.
Man.
You actually could make a piano with small human teeth keys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, has anyone ever done that?
Human teeth keys?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think there's one psycho along the way?
There's always a psycho, isn't there?
There's always one.
Yeah. It's like that thing of the first rule of the internet, that there's a pornograph of everything. There's a pornograph.
There's a pornograph of
it. I'm playing this on the pornograph.
Well, same, and that same rule applies to anything you can think of, some psychopath dictator has done it at some point.
Yeah, or any body part, some psychopath has made a musical instrument out of it at some point. Yeah. A psychograph.
Feels like you could definitely, with a bunch of noses, you could make a good resonance chamber.
A bunch of noses?
Yeah,
just get yourself a bunch of noses.
Just get a bunch of noses.
Just lasso some noses.
Yeah, and get them a bunch. And then that would be a great thing for like the top of a string instrument or something like that.
Mm, yeah, sure. Or you could have them laying down there, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have a little, make yourself a little marimba. You just put a little bar across the top of each nostril.
Sure. Yeah. That's good. Could you dry out this cartilage in here?
Yeah, you could dry out that cartilage. That would really resonate, wouldn't it? That nice strip of cartilage down the middle. I feel like you could even blow into the nose and get a note. Mm.
This is
it's one of your best impersonations. I defy.
Players at the nose.
I defy anyone out there to do a better impersonation of somebody blowing over the top of a bottle than Alistair Tremblay-Birchall.
I'm blowing.
There's a lot that I won't back you up on, Alistair.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Yeah. My teeth growing thing.
Yeah, your teeth growing thing. But you know, this one, you're the best. Look, you're the best, Al.
Rule 32, but for dictators, no, but for psychos.
Yeah, but also, I said the word psychograph earlier, and I'm not saying there's a sketch in this, but I am saying there's a science thing in it. Like, if some science or some bullshit religion thing, you know, hasn't come up with something called the psychograph as a way to, like, measure people's mental state or something.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't want to name names, but you know who you are, and you're associated with the St. John Travolta, who we mentioned earlier in the podcast.
Oh, the wig makers.
The wig makers.
It's the wig men. Makers. The wigmen.
The Lud wig van. Lud's wig van.
Lud wig van.
Call back to episode one, maybe?
One? Lud wig van Beethoven? Oh, to Joy, she is my sister.
Her name's Joy, and I drive a wig van.
Come
still probably the best episode of the podcast. Still, we appreciate you all sticking around.
Yes, thanks a lot.
What we're doing.
Things were simpler, Andy. We didn't have the we lived in a warehouse. What did it cost us? $400 a month.
Oh man.
Right?
Yeah. $400 a month.
My rent is literally at least five times that now.
We had a very thin wall between us, mm-hmm. and then one very short flight of steps to the podcasting booth. Mm-hmm. There were no barriers, and still we didn't do the podcast for about 3 years.
Yeah. But while we were doing it, we were doing two episodes a week.
When we were doing it, yeah. When we started out, that was crazy. I mean, we could just still do that if we wanted, but it'd be real hard. And we'd be very sad.
Last month, yeah. All right, let's focus on back on the pod. All right, look, let's talk about your gel that grows teeth.
Yeah, well, you know,
Come on, let's talk about your funny gel.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, let's talk about your funny gel.
Well, it's got stem cells. Teeth stem cells,
sure.
Right? So, you know,
well, stem cells aren't.
Because I mean, this is the new frontier for toothpaste, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they all promise you fresh smelling breath.
Yeah.
Which what, I don't visibly have right now. Visibly whiter teeth. Me neither. Visibly whiter teeth.
You guys
teeth
are lucky you don't have any smell sensors in your ears.
2 weeks or whatever. Yeah. And they promise you like stronger enamel protection.
Protected.
Plaque fights the causes of plaque.
Fights the causes of poverty.
Yeah, you know, make poverty history.
Make .com. Well, but like you know, enamel poverty.
Oh, sure, the 1%, right?
Mm.
But what it doesn't do is promise you new teeth. Say it's going to grow new teeth, and that's where they got to go with this.
Well, that's where the gap in the market is.
Yeah. The gap in your teeth.
Yeah.
Right? And it's...
Oh, you start growing teeth in the gaps between your teeth?
Well, if you've lost a tooth, there's a gap.
No, that's true.
Right? So I think that Colgate, if they can get this to market first, man, they're already... God, imagine being Oral-B.
You got to feel bad.
You'd feel so shit. They already feel bad. I reckon, because Colgate, they're 90% of the toothpaste market.
They're the Pepsi of the toothpaste market.
Oral-B is?
Oral-B.
Yeah. And I should have called it Oral-A. You know?
It was a huge... yeah, I mean, they did well. At least they didn't call it Orbal-B.
Yeah, you're right.
At least there's one A in there. Right?
And,
I mean, although it would have been an improvement if they'd call it Browlby.
Sure.
I would have
sure.
at least, you know, brought up the ranks in the alphabetical order. Browlby.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I mean, they lose a little bit on the relevance to the word brow.
Yeah, but what about this? The relevance of this word? Colgate. Doesn't mean a
doesn't
thing.
Mean a, doesn't mean a thing.
Doesn't mean you're a the thing.
Yeah, so I think if Colgate can get the one that seeds new teeth,
yeah, I mean that's the That's the flight to Mars of the cult, of the right. Toothpaste world.
It's the Holy Grail.
But I mean, the thing is that you got to stop the teeth. You got to stop the, because I mean, what a toothpaste would have to do is it would have to actually activate those dormant
oh, okay.
that dormant machinery in there, because you can't just have it grow teeth, because toothpaste goes everywhere in your mouth.
Well, that's the joke, I suppose. Don't get it anywhere else.
Don't get it anywhere else.
For the love of God.
I mean, you can't get it from Brawl B.
Really don't swallow. Just teeth all the way down your throat.
I mean, it would reduce the amount you needed to chew. But I reckon you would feel awful on the inside.
I feel terrible.
Just feel like right now, you never think about how comfortable you are based on how there's no lumps of hard calcium in your esophagus or your food hole.
The thing no one ever thinks about.
Right? Because you're constantly in a state. But the one time you try and swallow like a paracetamol tablet or something like that, and it doesn't just go all the way down, and you just feel it kind of like, you go, this is the most uncomfortable thing I've ever experienced.
You're right. And that's what it would be like to have teeth all down your throat, but like infinitely worse.
Probably wouldn't chew either, because there's no jaw there. So it just
block. There's still peristalsis, you know. There's still like sort of like squeezing, contracting. So there'd be something.
I wonder if it's enough to sort of
constitute chewing.
Yeah, or to like allow steak to pass through. Everybody would have to move to soup. Get lots of teeth.
And then
in your
and
mouth,
then what's the point? What's the point of the teeth? Yeah. If we're all moving to soup anyway, what have we gained? Anyway, there could be some comedy in that. Another thing about toothpaste is that, like, if you squeeze it out right, it kind of looks like a tooth. So if you did have if you were missing a tooth, you could probably squeeze out some toothpaste into the gap.
Yeah.
And then if you didn't close your mouth or move too much, it would look like you just had a tooth there. All right, you could make yourself a toothpaste tooth. And then if you had, say, an important photograph coming up, you know how when you have an important photograph coming up, you just squeeze some in and then you go to the photograph.
Yeah.
And you get the photograph taken.
Yep.
And nobody bats an eyelid. Cause no.
But you make it a brown tooth so that nobody thinks that you would put in a fake tooth.
Yeah.
A fake brown tooth. Must be his real tooth. Why would you put a fake brown, fake-looking tooth?
It's the most disgusting tooth I've ever seen. Must be real. It's black and green and sort of looked like it had a hole that was dripping.
Oh, it looks like he's got maggots in his mouth. Those must be his maggots, because why would he put maggots from a dirty bin in his mouth? Oh, yuck. Oh, they're all moving and things like that. Maybe it's just his tongue is sort of festered in some way, because why would he put a big mouthful of fly larva in there?
There you go.
Yeah.
Full head of teeth. No one ever says that, do they? Oh,
full head of teeth. Oh, I do like the look of that.
But it seems more accurate than a full head of hair, right? Because it's not a full head of hair. It's a covered head of hair.
Yeah.
But it's a full head of teeth.
Yeah. I mean,
thank you. I'll be here all week. I want to get in the plane. Best comedian's dumbest bits. George Carlin, I want to get in the plane, not on the plane.
I think then Mitch Hedberg's and Bill Bailey's ones are the, I grated, you know, how do you wash a cheese grater? How do you wash a cheese grater with a sponge? Because then you end up actually grating the sponge. Both of them did that bit.
What's his name also has that bit. James Acaster.
Does he?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Do they both make the joke that you can, you could melt it easily over cheese? I mean, over chips or something like that? Because it kind of looks like cheese. Mm. Anyway, look, it's not that it's his worst bit. I'm sure.
No. Hedberg, I mean, I actually think it's a very good joke. Yeah, I really love that observation.
Yeah, but
it's probably, you know, in my privileged life,
one of the biggest problems.
But one of the biggest problems, and my defining truth, you know, my struggle. So
I would say that the solution.
I relate to it.
The solution is so obvious that to suggest otherwise.
What is the obvious solution?
That you don't wash in the direction that you would grate.
No, but it's they're talking about the other side of the cheese grater, right? They're talking about that side that's got those pointy little horrible little...
Now you've brought in James Acaster, and he talks about that.
Oh, is that his bit? Is it? Right.
Yeah, but the other guys don't talk about that part. Yeah. No, remember, James Acaster's bit was that nobody talks about that side of the grater.
Oh, see? Okay. I've forgotten this already. I'm sorry, James, for bringing you into this.
Thanks, by the way, thanks for listening, Mr. James Acaster.
Mr. James Acaster, sir. We really enjoyed that you're 2 years younger than us and a lot more successful, and we just really appreciate you listening to our podcast, sir.
Yeah.
Mr.
Acaster.
Mr. Acaster, sir.
You might remember me. I think I introduced myself once. I'm Pat's friend. Anyway, it's nice meeting you.
And I went on before you at a gig one time, and you were really, really funny. You did great.
Yeah.
And I was just happy that I didn't bomb completely.
And you know what? Other than that, I'm just so glad to see you get the success that you've been getting.
Oh, absolutely, that you deserve.
And I completely, I actually absolutely believe that it deserves. It's so nice to see somebody who's genuinely funny.
And who writes incredible jokes.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is sounding a bit sycophantic now, you cunt.
Me?
No, I'm talking to James.
Oh, no. Well, don't call him a cunt.
No, I was trying to take the edge off this.
Oh, because it means, yeah, right.
You know, make our compliments seem more genuine if it seems like we don't like him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you know, I know that I only appreciate the opinions of people that I don't like, or, you know, I'm not friends with. You know?
Yeah, or people I truly respect, but which we're not in any way suggesting.
Oh, no.
That. No, no, we're saying we're beneath you. So I think in many ways it's important to us and to the compliment that you see us as beneath you and don't like this compliment at all.
Worthless.
Don't value it at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that would add so much more value to the compliment.
All I need is for this not to be valued.
Mm. No, Andy, don't yet.
No, that's okay.
Roald Dahl.
Yes.
Was his first name Ronald and he just removed the N?
Dropped the N. I think you might be right.
Really?
Yeah, I think you might be right. Roald Dahl, yeah. I mean, I could look it up. Do you want me to look it up?
Well, if you
we can. Never look anything up on the podcast, but I got a computer right here and I got the internet right there on the computer.
Why are we coming up with sketch ideas when we could just be watching sketches the whole time?
Yeah, we could describe them to you. It could be an audio digest of great sketches.
Oh, we could talk.
We watch one sketch every episode and then we talk. We explain it in detail for 40 minutes. Roald Dahl, born in Wales. It doesn't say anything about his name actually being
Ronald.
Ronald.
What if you control F?
Does say, oh, he was named after polar explorer Roald Amundsen.
Was that guy? Did that guy just drop the N?
I want to go find out if his name was really Ronald. No. No, it doesn't say that. Oh, he's from the heroic age of Antarctic exploration.
Oh, well, he's a...
That's so much better than the current cowardly age of Antarctic exploration.
Well, now it's kind of just recreational, isn't
recreational
it?
Recreational exploration. Rexploration.
I don't think the government would ever reward you for exploring these days, whereas back in the day, it feels like you'd get rewarded.
Yeah, yeah, but also a lot of the time you had to raise your own funding and, various... different famous people would chip in and they'd get things named after them. There's a bunch of islands in Antarctica that are named after various people who funded expeditions.
Really?
Yeah, Shackleton's expeditions and that sort of thing.
Yeah, right. But then eventually we change their names. Do you think once you decolonize a place? I guess it's going to be a while before Antarctica gets decolonized, isn't it?
I think pretty soon it'll be the only place that's habitable, actually, and will be.
Well, you know, we'll see about that.
We will.
We'll see about whether there's any places still gonna that are habitable.
Still going to be dark half the year, so good luck getting your vines to grow.
Yeah.
Your precious vines.
Yeah, but we could just get some dry vines and bring them with us and then just eat them.
Eat them vines. Do you think that we could have, can we declare things undiscovered? Can we undiscover a few things so that they're open for discovery again? You know, can't we just say, all right,
gravity.
South Pole is undiscovered.
Yeah.
Now, and then people can race to discover it.
Okay, that's nice.
Again.
But then there's some people that are quite close. So do they get given a handicap?
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. They lose a leg.
Okay. But couldn't we just you know, tie a sort of a four-wheel drive to their leg and put a guy in a gun with a gun in that thing.
In
and
the four-wheel drive?
In the four-wheel drive to start, you know, so that they don't get in the, just to get in the four-wheel drive.
Ah, because that would be my first thought. I'll get in that four-wheel drive, but you put a guy with a gun in it.
Yeah, and then to stop that guy, the guy with the gun, from discovering it.
Or forming a bond with the person who's tied to the thing and working together.
Yeah, you put a guy in a big metal sort of circle sphere with just an eye slit and, a, and then two gun holes. And one point at each guy. 1 point at each guy. 6 months' food. 6 months' food. And $100,000 if he doesn't make any friends.
Just... Wait, where is this ball?
It's in the tray of the four-wheel drive.
Okay, right. Yeah. I thought it was just on the ice, and then they're going to start. they're going to start going, and he's going to be running inside this ball, trying to keep up while still pointing his guns, and all the food's going to be falling around inside the. Also, he's got 6 months of food, no toilet.
Yeah, well, no, he can do just a. There's just like, you know, he's got a seat in there so that you can sit, so you can sit up and look through the hole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that. And the seat lifts up and you can just poop into the pipe and it just falls onto the snow. It
goes through down
or,
under
or,
the...
Or onto the tray of the four-wheel drive.
Onto the tray of the four-wheel drive.
Which in the frozen area, like that'll just get frozen quickly and the bacteria won't survive.
You know, we talk a lot about keeping the bastards honest in Australian politics, but I think we can all agree that the only thing that can keep the bastards honest is a man in a sphere.
A big metal sphere.
Big metal sphere with an eye slit, two gun holes, and 6 months of food, and $100,000 if he doesn't make any friends. As the one, he's the one man who can't be bought because he's already got everything. There's nothing you can give him.
Well, I mean, if we swapped out the whole police force for that, you know, so they're not working together, trying to save each other, always, you know, trying to like, oh, you do a bad thing and I'll say you didn't do it. That kind of system, you know, if that wasn't, if it was just all independent people with a, in a big metal sphere and some gun holes and $100,000 if they don't make any friends.
Because the only person that society can trust is a man with no friends.
And two gun holes.
Shits through a pipe onto the tray of a four-wheel drive. We'll call this show Balls of Justice, right?
Yeah, perfect.
And it's, you know, when lawlessness rules the streets, balls are your last hope.
It's beautiful.
Balls of Justice.
Balls of Justice. All right, Balls of Justice. That takes away from the undiscovered things again.
Yeah, that's okay. I just don't... It just seems that, like, once something's discovered...
Yeah.
It's crazy that it never gets to get discovered again.
Yeah, it's a bit sad.
Like, forever?
Yeah. I mean, a new species can come along and wipe us out.
That's
and then
true.
They can re- That's then, true. Then everything gets to be rediscovered again.
Yeah, but I mean, they'd have to go to a lot of places to wipe us all out. I mean, they'd probably see a lot of the places in the process of...
And kind of ruin it.
Yeah. We kind of saw this when we were wiping them out.
Maybe they could kill us all with a big gas.
A gas or a disease. That'd be good if it was a disease.
Oh, one that's not too painless, though.
Not too painless.
Yeah, for us.
Yeah. And one that mostly attacks the face.
Yeah, why?
Oh, because that would be bad. You said not too painless.
Yeah.
Meaning that you want it to be painful, right?
No. I'm just an idiot.
Oh, okay.
I meant not too painful.
Yeah, not too painful. Then I was going to say... Yeah, and it doesn't attack the face, right? But you said not too painless, and then I had to flip my position,
which
made me sound like I was making less sense. But I was just trying to.
You were
two corrupt cops. We were just trying to back each other up.
Absolutely, you were like Miles Davis, and I played a bung note, and you didn't even notice. You didn't even bat an eyelid. You integrated that note into your solo.
Yeah, It's the opposite of James Brown. He would have fined you $200.
Really?
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think he was a nice guy.
James Brown?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was it some of the stuff he did?
Yeah, I reckon, look, if I'm just going to base it entirely off of his actions, then yeah, I'm going to say no. But okay. but who he was deep down, he might have been a really great guy.
That's true.
We
got into it.
I think the Balls of Justice.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find, was it The Last Day on Earth? What was that one where an alien robot comes to Earth and they're basically come from our sort of galactic society, have decided to all team up and chip in and create these sort of ultra powerful robot species that come to your planet and basically police you. And if you're violent towards each other, they kill you.
Kill all of you?
I'm not sure exactly. But yeah. I think they probably kill at least the people who are being violent.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And that...
I don't know this story at all.
It's quite an old movie, but... Right.
The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Maybe. Could be The Day the Earth Stood Still.
That's a movie.
I can't remember. Last... Yeah, maybe it's that one. It doesn't feel like it's that one, but...
Mm.
Anyway, but since in the absence of being able to create a robots that can stop us being violent, we can create metal spheres. And we do have access to 6 months' worth of food.
And $100,000.
Yeah, and two guns. And we could just do that like that. So they're just there to stop violence.
Yes.
If they themselves start doing violent things.
Yeah, we plug up their poo hole.
I think we could do that. That's a really good, that's a simple thing. I was suggesting a big machine.
I think it's the ultimate.
I think I was suggesting a big machine that comes and just stamps them and stamps them flat.
Oh, wow. Stamps on the balls.
Yeah.
And the natural enemy of the ball.
And there could be just one of those per town.
Mm-hmm.
Just one stamper.
Now, okay. But I got to ask you the old, age-old question.
Mm.
Who stamps the stamper?
Well, you know? That's simple. On the back of the stamping machine, there's a guy in a ball. And he's got a gun pointed at him.
And then he's got the other gun pointed at the sky.
Yeah.
Threatening God.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a third gun that he's using the hot barrel of to cook an egg off of.
Oh, is that a thing that they do?
Well, why wouldn't you?
Shoot enough.
What a waste of heat to not cook anything.
It's going to get, if you're shooting a lot, if he's got to shoot a lot, it's going to get pretty hot in that ball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's okay these days.
He likes the warmth. That's why he took this job. I like the warmth. Yeah, I like the warm. I like to be warm. That's why I'm in this ball. You don't get a job trapped in a metal ball if you don't like to be warm.
I mean, that's a given.
Mm. God, you know, when people say, oh, I'd love to go and work, go and live somewhere warm.
Mm.
They very rarely are meaning inside a metal ball.
But now
but
that you
hey,
show
that
them...
meets all their criteria.
It does, exactly. Now that you show them that that's an option,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of people grew up, they didn't think that working in entertainment was an option.
Yeah.
You know, I was like that. You were
family.
Like that.
Exactly. You know, it wasn't part of my family's history.
Motsi.
My family's Motsi.
Yeah.
No, my grandfather did a bit of theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it is part of your...
He played the harmonica real good.
Oh, and there was that happy and sad mask on your family crest.
There was. That's true. Yeah. And my grandmother went to the movies.
Really? Oh, and your parents are an old style vaudeville like couple that argue.
Yeah, I was brought up in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was on stage from the age of two.
And your two brothers are a three-piece band. Yet, you actually grew up still. And we weren't lying when we said that you didn't even think you could go into entertainment.
No.
Because you just didn't know.
Didn't know just it was ignorant. An option. Didn't know it was an option for
me. Just you don't take in information through your senses.
That's right. I'm locked off from the world.
That was the thing. Your parents raised you to work everything out from first principles. And so you go 0-1, 0-1, 1-0.
Yeah.
And you go 0-0-0, 0-0-1, 0-1-1.
Just first principles, does that mean binary, does it?
Well, that's how you start. And then from that, you create the numbers. Then you create 1, 2, 3, 4 based off of the binary. And then you create A, B, C, D, E, F, G, things like that. And you create apostrophes and stuff.
Yeah.
And eventually you create language.
Now, Alistair, I'm sorry to change the subject.
I was really on a path to something.
But I think I came up with a mathematical theory while I was waking up in a fever from my food poisoning.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And tell me, and maybe this is too much. It's going to be too much explaining to get into on the podcast. It's going to sound really stupid.
And it would be stupid if you didn't say it on the podcast.
Okay. So you know the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, etc.
Mm-hmm.
You're aware of this?
Yeah.
Now, okay, in our show Magma, we have this bit where we're talking about the number of flies that are on a piece of meat.
Yeah.
Right? So on the first day, just go with me on this. Mm-hmm. On the first day, there's one. On the second day, there's two. On the third day, there's three. On the fourth day, there's four.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you ask me, what's the pattern there?
Yeah.
Right? I'll say it doubles.
Okay.
Right? It doesn't double.
I know it doesn't double, but I'm going with you.
Right? But I say, well, no, it does double. I wasn't talking about the number double. I was talking about the average doubles. Right? Oh, God. I'm just literally repeating this for the first time since I thought of it while I had woken up from literally vomiting and shitting myself. So, it's not the best.
Andy, a lot of the best ideas have come from, while you're doing monotonous things.
Is it true, right? Tell me this. Mm-hmm. Is it true that every subsequent number comes from doubling the weighted average of all the previous numbers? Right. So, one, the number one, the next number is two. Okay. So, one, that's our number. The average weighted average of that is one. Mm-hmm. Double it, that's two.
Yeah.
Right. Now, one and two, okay.
The weighted average.
The weighted average is 1.5. Yeah. Double it, that's three. Okay. One, two, six. And three, that's six. Okay, and then the weighted average of that, six divided by the number of numbers that there have been, which is three. Six divided by three is two. Double that, that's four. Yep. The next number is four.
Mm-hmm.
Does this go all the way to the top?
Well, wait, Andy. What about five?
One, two, three, four. Okay, you add all of those together, you get 10. Mm-hmm. You divide that by four, you get 2.5. You double it, you get five.
Mm-hmm. That seems correct. Does this go all the way to the top?
Does this go all the way to the top? Is this a maths thing? Seems crazy if that's how maths... I mean, maybe it's totally meaningless. Like, maybe it's one of those things that's trivial. They say, oh, well, that's trivial. Where it's like, oh, no, that's obvious. That's just how things are.
Andy, they would say that. They would say that, and then in 150 years they'd go...
Actually, this is the most...
We just found an application for that.
I mean, I think there is an application for it,
yeah.
And the application is finding what the next number is.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, there's already a simpler, much simpler way to work out what the next number is.
Well, not always. What about infinity? What about the next number?
I just found a way to find the next number after infinity. Is that what you're telling me?
So what's...
All we need to do is do a weighted average.
Okay, so add all the numbers up in infinity.
And then...
It's equal to infinity.
And then you just divide that by infinity.
Divided by infinity, which is equal to 1.
You multiply it by 2.
It's 2.
2.
The next number is 2.
After infinity is 2.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So infinity might be equal to 1.
I mean, I just said there was no application for this.
Yeah.
And already we've blown maths wide open.
We've actually just proven that 0... is the number before infinity. So it basically just starts up again.
It starts up again. It goes around.
Yeah, it just goes up again. It just goes around.
Actually, yeah, you never get to infinity. You get to 1 before infinity, and it goes to 0, and then the next one is 1.
Hmm.
And then it's 2, etc.
Anyway, I didn't think we would get a Nobel Prize in this episode, but
Nobel Prize for maths, is there?
Oh, I didn't think
it's the Fields Medal.
Didn't think we'd get a Turner Prize.
Turner Prize.
What's the Turner Prize?
That's for art.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but that's not bad. That's not bad money. The Turner Prize.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think something like $100,000, maybe pounds. £100,000, maybe Turner Prize.
I mean, this
good
was
money. Some bloke got it 1 year for a room where you go in, the lights switch on and off.
You know what?
And they said, "What's this?" And he said, "I can't tell you, except that it's the lights turning on and off." $100,000 he got.
Well, I mean, this was the portrait of a theory.
Portrait of a theory. As a young man.
Theory as a young man. All right, we got a bunch of ideas, and then we got to go to three words.
Okay.
We got our three words from a Patreon supporter who's donated at least $3, which allows you to get the King's Ear, where you can suggest three words. Here's the three words from Erling, which already is my favorite first name, and I've been considering naming a child it.
Great. One of yours or just a child?
I mean, I think it's on... I feel bad for all the children I can't name. And there's definitely one of the children that I may not ever get to name called Erling.
Mm.
All the children I never was able to name.
Erling is a beautiful name.
Yeah, Erling. Look, it could be Oh, my God, I forgot. I was like, I'll remember
You wrote it down in the tiniest little bit of space next to the edge of the paper.
Erling could be Rainstead. Rainstead. Ranastad, and I apologize.
Erling, thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon. That's a very kind and beautiful thing that you do right there.
Yes.
And he's given us three words.
Yeah, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Olympic.
Mm-hmm.
Sketch.
Yeah.
Glove. Olympic sketch glove.
Olympic sketch glove. I mean... we've got to come up with a sketch anyway. So, I mean, I feel like sketch is always the sort of the unwritten fourth word.
Yeah, I know, but it could be a drawing.
Could be another meaning of the word sketch.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, sketchy?
Mm.
When something is kind of, it's feeling a bit dangerous.
Mm,
you know,
it's a bit feeling sketchy. A bit... sketchy neighborhood. Sketchy, bunch of...
sketchy bridge.
Sketchy bridge.
You know?
Big...
What is the in our society, the sort of equivalent of that rickety rope bridge over a sort of deep ravine and river at the bottom? You know that one that you see people sort of for some reason in sort of South America drive across for some reason or whatever, and then it always breaks on one end and then it falls and
swings. But you hang on to one of the railings or maybe the rope. I'd hang on to the rope, I think, rather than the railing.
Maybe I'd have one hand on both, just and test its, while I'm falling, test the rigidity of both. Because I think
that's going to be hard to test the rigidity of both as you're falling, because you're falling presumably at the same rate as the thing. I don't think you're going to be able to get the pressure that you want to really, especially because when you smash into that far side of the ravine, the pressure that you apply in stopping, like the deceleration force, is going to be so much greater than anything you could have applied.
Sure, but what about use your legs to slow you down? You know?
Yeah, all right. You use your legs to sort of slow you down, to ease that crash there, the little crumple zone scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a really sensible thing to do, but I wonder if you're going to have time to get into the position to do that if you've spent the whole fall testing the strength of the various different bits of the thing.
Do you think there's a way in which this could be a sport, the falling rope bridge, like that? By the way, if you're doing it, wearing a glove would be super helpful so that you don't burn your hands.
Oh, rope burn.
Yeah.
Rope burn, one of the worst of the burns. Because, let me tell you, sliding down a rope, one of the coolest things you can do.
Absolutely.
Like the coolest way to enter any scenario or exit any scenario.
That's right, but...
sliding down a rope.
But having your thighs covered in rope burn.
Losing all the skin off the palm of your hands. Not so cool now.
Yeah, but wear long pants and gloves and no one will notice.
You know what I call it? I call it dope burn, because it's for dopes who don't think to wear long pants and gloves.
Well, that's a nice message. That's also a thing to think about. We could think of sort of fun, slogans that you could do for, because they've come up with slogans for don't say no to drugs and things like that. But things like don't say no to drugs. I mean, that's a cooler one.
That is pretty cool.
But there's gonna be like say no, don't be a schmo, that kind of thing. But for more obscure sort of acts of mischief.
Yeah, or even just specifically cool slogans, catchy cool slogans for dudes who go on like a mad adventures. Like for people, slogans, but aimed at people like Indiana Jones.
But like, but even just for teenagers, it's like,
sure.
Hey, don't make mom glower, stay off the top of that water tower.
Yeah, I think I think that's absolutely a sketch, Alistair. I want to know, what is your context? Where, what context are you putting this in? Are you putting in the
Keep working on maths. Don't shit off that overpath.
Overpaths.
Yeah, this is an overpath. It's a. It's not the. It's not a, over a highway like this. It's just actually a small path that goes over another small path.
An overpath. Well, sounds like a bit of a rickety rope bridge, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's like a group of people who come up with all these slogans? You know, I mean, you know, dare I say, some kind of a think tank scenario?
I see. I mean, it could just be they've got a dedicated slogan, you know, thing for that respond to every activity, so that eventually you. You'll have a full collection of things that people can do, especially over 20 years. You know, what's somebody else been busted doing? Or you're talking to the kids. You get a snitch in there. You you flip one kid at the local school. They can you let you in on what all the kids are doing. Like that. You say, hey.
Flipping snitches. Yeah, nothing can, like flipping a snitch,
yeah,
is there?
You can flip a few snitches. I mean, it's a big operation.
Snitches get stitches. Like, that's one that was come up with by the other side.
Because
it really is a little slogan war, isn't it? You know? It's, you know, every... Oh, the slogan arm of the law or something like that. The slogan unit. Because and it's an arms race. It's like anything. You know, you got the mafia. You got the, them out there coming up with their slogans like snitches got stitches. You've got your one over here that's saying don't be a schmo when someone offers you drugs, say no.
Yeah, and so then they can go, well, you know, on one side, yeah, they do say snitches get stitches, but on this side we say snitches get free sandwiches.
Yeah, that's good.
That's really good. And you're a poor kid. You know, cause I guess cause you can use those tactics that Russians use to flip people onto their side. It's you know, you get them to help you, then you offer them something, then once they take it, then you've got evidence on them, and you can you can reveal them to be a traitor to their people.
It is crazy, isn't it? They're like, once you do one thing, and then the best thing that you can do is then hope to flip back, right?
Or you can flip the whole of Russia, the whole Russian intelligence thing. If you could flip them,
I mean, that's a big flip, isn't it?
It's a huge flip. You need quite the mental spatula for that. you know, and that's the only way out, I think. It's, yeah, and you've got to flip a whole intelligence service.
He flipped the entire KGB. The KGB caught him, worked out he was working for MI6. He flipped the entire KGB, turned it back on them.
Yeah,
Now they're all working for MI6. Little does he know, during the same time, MI6, they've all been flipped.
They've all been flipped. They're all KGB now.
They're all KGB.
And then they managed to flip the British people. British people, they're all Russian.
They're
now
all Russians.
Meanwhile, KGB managed to flip all of Russia. They're all British.
So now it's been a full 180 swap, right? Britain, the Soviet states of Britain,
yeah,
versus the United Russia.
The English Isles of Russia.
Great Brussia, they called
Great
it.
Great Brussia.
Mm.
Whose last name told me recently comes from Prussia? Oh, my friend Chris Parlow. I think Parlow comes from Prussia.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a Prussian.
My Prussian friend.
You guys ever been to Prussia? Have you seen this?
Yeah.
You had a Prussia? I was in Prussia the other day.
In Prussia, yeah, I used to get...
You never hear about Prussia no more.
It's still out there somewhere. It's out there!
Under Prussia.
Look, slogan unit. This is huge now.
Yeah.
This is now a whole metaphor for intelligence agencies, but also small town living, but also crime fighting.
Are we doing this whole flip Russia, flip everything? I don't think that's all part of it.
No,
you always want to include everything in every sketch.
I want to include... Well, why... do you have such limited scopes? I think that you should be allowed to zoom out occasionally.
I'm stuck in a metal ball.
You're stuck in a metal ball.
Got my two little gun holes.
And a tube to poop in.
I ain't got a tube to poop in.
Well, I mean, you know, they block your poop tube.
I'll tell you, you gotta
poop out the eye hole. Or the one of the gun holes.
I was going to say that once you're in that ball, yeah, you've really got yourself a cloaca, don't you? You're living that sweet cloaca life.
Yeah, you're living in that cloaca ball.
Mm. See, you have got everything. Mm-hmm. You got your food, 6 months of food. You got everything.
You got $100,000 waiting for if you don't make any friends. Ooh, rubbing your hands, looking out those eye holes, looking out for people that you don't want to get too close to.
It's okay. I don't think many people want to come and be friends with this pooping tube ball. This tube pooping ball.
With guns. There's police and...
tube pooping gun ball over there. Everyone wants to be his friend.
Yeah. Balls of justice. I mean, this town with the slogans unit, you know, that's... They could also really have these balls justice of justice. Ball. Because then... But they're not just a hard-hitting, you know, guns a-blazing kind of town that just thinks of, you know, thinks of metal justice.
Mm-hmm.
No, no, they've also got this sort of the psychological warfare unit, which is the slogans unit.
Yeah, it's the hearts and minds. You know, you get the hearts litter. With the balls, with the poop balls.
Don't litter. Go to the forest. Pet a critter. Yeah, like a chipmunk. Have I told you I've seen a chipmunk?
Probably
the first animal I really spent a lot of time looking into its eyes.
I saw what's the other one that's not a chipmunk?
A squirrel.
Oh, maybe I saw a chipmunk then. Yeah, when I went in, I was in Canada.
Yeah, I was talking to you about marmots earlier today.
Yeah.
Did you know the marmot? It's a subterranean squirrel. They're part of the squirrel family.
Did you know that the woodchuck?
Yeah.
Do you know what a woodchuck is?
Yeah.
What is it?
I think it's a marmot.
It's a groundhog.
Yeah, I think they're all the same thing.
Oh, right. I'd always assume a woodchuck was a bird until, like, yesterday.
Are you thinking of a woodpecker?
Well, I was thinking, you know, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck? I'm like, that's just another way of saying a woodpecker.
Yeah.
You know, he's chucking wood because he's biting the wood.
Yeah.
And he's chucking the bits over his shoulder or something. No. That's what I was, that's until this very age.
You're thinking of
who's calling a groundhog woodchuck?
No, you're thinking of a beaver, that bird.
A beaver bird.
The beaver bird.
Anyway, I think...
Wait.
I think you take us through the sketches, Al.
Can I tell you one more last thing?
All right.
One time I saw a woodpecker and landed on an upright canoe that was leaning up against the wall, and it got its little claws in the gaps between the wood planks of the canoe.
Yep.
And it pecked the canoe. But it was all hollow, so it went.
Sound great?
Very satisfying.
Yeah? Did it drill a hole in the canoe?
No. It was varnished and things like that. Yeah. You know?
Oh, they can't get through that varnish.
No.
Yeah.
That's the
no,
one.
I mean, they've got a skull specifically designed for drilling into wood. They get I think the tip of their beak is something like the level of pressure of like a 1,000 neutron bombs or something. But
yeah,
you're right. They can't get through that varnish.
No, that's kryptonite to the woodpecker.
Mm-hmm. Woodpecker kryptonite.
The aerial woodchuck as they know it.
I think a woodpecker drilling into a boat, I'd be pretty sure that it's at some point a military division has tried to train the woodpeckers to...
That's where the idea
sabotage.
For Woody Woodpecker came from.
Really?
No.
Oh.
All right, we got Wolfman Vanta Black anti-sniper technique.
Starting strong.
That's our first sketch, right? And this is for a rebel group, and it could be for anybody. This is for preppers.
Mm.
These are preppers. You know, you don't only need to prep your provisions and your hole in the ground. You also need to cover your body in hair and dye it Vanta Black. So that snipers can't put their red dot on you.
You just need to work out what color you're going to be after society collapses.
And also, what color your hair is going to be that covers your
body.
Right. And also, going out at nighttime, you're invisible. Yes. No one's ever going to see, even if they let their eyes adapt.
Yeah,
you're
good
Vanta
luck.
Black.
You can't adapt to this. Unfortunately, I think Vanta Black, I think that the rights to the color are owned by some company.
The apocalypse has come.
That's the great thing. Apocalypse comes. It wipes out all those patents.
Everything can be rediscovered.
It's all up for grabs. Discoveries.
Somebody can come in and go, Vanda Black, it's now Michael Black.
I think just as soon as you... Michael Ian Black?
Yay! Michael Ian Black! then we got the vegan deniability restaurant where, you know, you can just hide, you know, you can hide a slice of bacon inside like a nectarine. And then, but you put a bowl there, and there's just 16 nectarines.
Yeah.
But these guys, they're going to eat. There's two people there, a man and a woman.
Just that delicious flavor of nectarine and bacon, is it?
Yeah. But they're just going to eat 8 nectarines each at this restaurant. And one of them is going to get a little nibble of bacon. But they don't have to feel bad because they might not have eaten it.
Vegan deniability. I'm looking at a picture of Roald Amundsen that we got on this up here on the thing. Man, that's a face, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Look.
Oh, can I say this on the air? Because I said it earlier today and I just needed something to be somewhere so I remember it. Can't say shirt without... Can't say shirt without...
Yeah, you're right. You need to remember that, Al. Yeah. I'm glad that's in the
film. No, I think there's use for it somewhere. You know. Oh, your shirt's gross. Oh, yeah? Well, you can't say shirt without... There you go. Put context in there. It's perfect.
Sorted.
Vegan... Okay, we got circumcision. It's the Circumcision in Nature book that's just waiting to be written.
Start writing.
Yeah.
You don't have time to get discovering.
Then we got Rule 32, but for psychos making things out of body parts.
Yep.
You name it. Something's been made by a person out of the discarded body parts of the dead that they may be responsible for.
And, you know, I think rule 2 of the internet is if it doesn't exist, you got to make it. So, you know.
I don't know if that's rule 2. I think that's part of rule 32, maybe.
Rule 32.
I think it's maybe rule 32.
Rule 32. Yeah. I thought it was rule 1.
Yeah. Open up.
I'm not looking it up. We're not that kind of a podcast. No, we look up Roald Amundsen.
Roald Amundsen.
Amundsen. And
Ronald
that's it.
Minus N. All right. Toothpaste that grows teeth. Right. That's going to be psychotic. That's the kind of idea that I would come up with.
Yeah, I'm really proud of myself.
But it's going to be awful. Imagine somebody opening their mouth and they've got teeth all lining their cheek. They've got teeth under their lip that's keeping their
mouth would be so swollen.
It looks swollen.
Yeah. But then there'll be teeth on the outside of their mouth as well, probably.
So. No, because you think they got a bit of toothpaste on.
A bit of toothpaste. Do you think
they'd have to keep throwing out their toothbrushes because all the little cells that get, you know, that you kind of brush off out of your mouth that stay on your toothbrush after you brush it, during the day, they just grow teeth on them?
Yeah.
Then we got balls of justice.
That's right.
Right, and then we got the slogans unit.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably of the same town that has the balls of justice.
Probably everything is probably all one sketch, Al. You're right. It's all rolled together. And ever since you saw that movie, The Lobster, which had so many ideas in it, you want everything to be in one thing, don't you?
I watched the movie The Lobster, and it looks like it was written by this podcast, except beautiful and complete.
Beautiful and complete.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, what a lovely thing to be able to say about something. Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's the element of this where sometimes, I mean, it feels like we could spend hours with each sketch idea.
Mm.
But we have to, we can't have people listening to these for 5 hours, can we? We have to kind of move on because we need, just for the sake of people's lives, we can't spend 5 hours on each sketch idea, right? How long have we been going for already?
An hour and 15 minutes. Yeah, they've started to get real long.
Yeah. So we got to end it.
Yep. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We really do appreciate it.
You are the beasts of
beneath our wings.
Yeah, you're the beasts who carry our fallen bird bodies. We've fallen on you, you bovine creatures, and we rely on you and the bugs that land in your fur to keep us alive.
Yeah. Come on, bugs.
Come on. whip those bugs away from the back area and make them fly to the front so we can,
we can get them
within beak reach.
We don't have to move so much.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. That's an amazing thing that you do, amazing gift. Some more people have come on board recently, and it's so kind and thoughtful, and thank you for supporting the show. It makes our lives considerably better.
Unbelievably better. You can also buy the tickets to our comedy festival show if you feel like doing that.
There's a link in the show notes to the comedy festival show.
There's people...
Magma.
There's people who are coming from far, far away to come and see the show.
It's amazing.
Brian, we're looking at you.
Yeah.
He's coming from America. This is insane. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Feel free to review us on iTunes. We love it
so
much. We're so good. Feel free to listen to Shusher Guided Meditations if you want to check out listening to me for even longer.
It's very funny, very relaxing podcast.
And feel free to, you know, even just Google Andy and find some of the old things that he's written, because he's very funny endlessly. What's that, Parts Unexplored?
No, don't do that. Don't look that up.
Go Google Parts Unexplored.
That's a blog that I did like 9 years ago.
Nine years ago.
I don't want you to find that.
And I showed it to somebody about 9 years ago when I barely knew Andy. And at the same time as I showed him some of the stuff that I'd written, and he really laughed at the stuff that Andy had written. There's a thing with about a bag of Scroggin that made me laugh.
Oh, wow. That's real nice. All thanks,
right.
Al.
All right. I think that's it.
Yeah.
So we
love
you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.